Episode 167, BulaNetwork.com. Bigger is not always better. I've got a t-shirt and it says, go big or go home. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's true. We'll talk about it next. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. I appreciate you clicking play. Let's get right to it. I'm coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. This is home for me. And if you've known anything at all about Texas, then you know the moniker. Everything's bigger in Texas. I'm not sure that that's true. Now, it's probably born from the fact that geographically, I think the state of Texas does encompass an awful lot of real estate. So it's a big state. You know it's a big state when you head west to drive to California. And you've driven 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 some more and you've spent the entire day driving and you still are in Texas. And you realize, hey, it's El Paso. Welcome to the state of Texas. It's a big state. It's got, yes, admittedly, there's some big money, but yeah, there's big money in every state. It's a heavily populated place. There are some big cities. I live in one. I mean, what is Dallas-Fort Worth? Dallas has got to be in the top, I don't know, got to be in the top five or six media markets in the country. So it admittedly is big. Is that better? Well, there's some advantages. I mean, I don't mind telling you that one of the reasons that we came to Dallas, it's home for my wife, but that really wasn't the driver. I mean, one of the drivers, there were a number of drivers, but the business driver, which also transcended into our home and our family, our children were very small when we moved here. Over 20 years ago, but we came because one of our life's goals as a family is we wanted to raise our children in a place where they could get their education, including college, not leave home. Yeah, that was important to us. And marry and establish their own families and find work. And we could all be around each other. Now, that was a dream. That was a goal. That was an ambition over 20 years ago. And here we are today, and dream realized. Yes, people often tell us, oh, you're so lucky. People who have children 2,000 miles away, 1,000 miles away. I frequently tell them, no. We're not lucky, we're blessed, but we worked hard. We put ourselves in this position. Now, was there a guarantee that if we put ourselves in this position that it would come true? No, but one of the things was is we knew that when you come to an area as large as this area, the opportunities are vast. They just are, because the economy here is so diverse. The cost of living is low. There is no state income tax. There's a lot of economic reasons why it's a good place. Now, for us, we're from this part of the country, so it's home. But, you know, if you're from somewhere else, then that's home. This isn't a show about geography, and it's not a show to try to lure you to move to the state of Texas. It's that bigger is better ain't necessarily so. I'm thinking of a number of things, none of the least of which is the movement that has really taken hold in the last, I've noticed it in the last 10 years. I'm not saying it's only 10 years old. It's just really kind of been on my radar, and I think has been more in the public specter for about the last 10 years, and that is this whole movement toward minimalism. I have been, for the last year or so, I've been pretty infatuated just in looking at it from afar, not wanting to do it necessarily, but have you seen or read about the tiny homes? There is another movement. It is tiny homes. I'm talking 300 square foot. I'm talking really small. I'm talking camper size kind of thing. Homes. I'm not talking about RVs. I'm talking about little houses. I'll put some links in the show notes if you're curious or interested. It's fascinating to me. The construction, there is something appealing about that to me. And at the same time, what we want to do is we want to go. Do you ever go to open houses? I mean, come on. We all do it. We may not do it regularly, but we all do it. And you walk in and we are fascinated with high ceilings. And have you seen this show on Hello? This has been a problem for me the last three episodes. About the last three recordings, I've gotten myself tongue-tied. There's a show on HGTV. I believe the guy's name is Jason Abrams. Jason Abrams is he says he is known as the I'm brain dead. The Jerry Maguire of real estate agents. Jason Abrams. The show is on HGTV, and I love HGTV. I mean, what's not to love? Scoring the Deal is the name of the show. He's a real estate guy who specializes in dealing with professional athletes. And so as they move or as they buy second homes or vacation homes or whatever, he's the guy. They call him. He gets to know these people and their wives if they're married, and they don't have a lot of time. You know, he does his thing. These are people that make multi-million dollar decisions in a day. Yeah, must be nice, right? And nearly, of course, these are high-end celebrity kind of athletes, and so they've got a lot of money. And yeah, they're big guys physically, so they want big, you know, they want big spaces. They want really tall ceilings and gargantuan kitchens and gargantuan bathrooms and whatnot. And yes, that's incredibly tempting, right? We love it. And we love to go and visit these kind. I mean, even if we mere mortals aren't in the price range that these cats are, we go into, you know, nice homes that have an open house on a weekend. And it's like, man, this is awesome. Wouldn't this be awesome? Yeah. Well, there's some other things that, you know, that go in with that. There was a show on, I had not seen this, but it's some show about, and it was an international show again on HGTV. I was sitting here, I was doing some paperwork and doing some writing, and it was on, and this couple is, I don't know where they were. They were in, I don't know if they were in Scotland. They were somewhere in that neck of the woods, and it was just sad. I mean, they had a budget of $200,000, and I mean, and everything that they were looking at was, you probably wouldn't have wanted to have moved into it. Yeah. I mean, teeny, teeny, tiny bathroom, teeny, tiny kitchens, just super, super small. Certainly by our standards here in North America, but bigger is not always better, and smaller isn't either, but there are some benefits. And let's talk about business, and let's talk about scale. Everybody seems to want to be able to take their idea and I want it to scale up. And I think in part, some of this is driven because of all of the talk of IPOs and venture capital money and Techstar, and this is business that is operated at a different level. This is business that is operated with the intent of big return on investment. Big return on investment. And admittedly, chancy. I mean, VCs are very much in a bit of a gambling business of putting enough money into enough ideas, full well knowing that 90% of them are going to fail. But boy, it's that 10% where you hit, and you're going to hit big, hopefully big. And that's the game. Now we come back down to our level. It was interesting to me. Facebook recently, they posted a photograph of their start out of an apartment, two computers and a desk. It just looked like your standard kind of a smallish den or living room. The beginning of Salesforce. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, what a difference time makes, right? You know, blew up in a huge way. And I think we got to be a little bit careful to, as we say in this part of the country, you know, to don't get the cart in front of the horse. You've really got to kind of keep things in proper order. But people want to begin something and think, okay, I got to make it scale super, super, super big. At least it's got to scale nationally, and hopefully it can scale globally. But you know what? That may not be what you want. That may not be the best thing. And while even if you had the money, the 11,000 square foot home might not be you. It might not feel right. It might not be, you might feel terribly out of place, and you might feel more in place with a really cool 1500 square foot space. That may feel more like home. That may feel more comfortable. It's interesting to me as I watch these celebrities, and their tastes are very different in many cases. And, you know, some want that urban, real contemporary, glitzy party thing. Then here's another guy, and he's married and has, you know, three little kids, and that's the last thing he wants. You know, he wants something that's a little bit out and something that's got a really nice, terrific backyard, and it's got some wide open spaces, and he wants it to be comfortable. He wants it to feel like home. Now, the single 22-year-old superstar, you know, running back, and that ain't what he wants, by and large. I think in our businesses, I don't think there's anything at all wrong with thinking small. And that doesn't mean that we want to dream small. It doesn't mean that we want to stifle our creativity. It doesn't mean that I was encouraged many, many years ago by somebody, and it was good advice. And I interjected here just for whatever it's worth, that I needed to think bigger. And I was involved in, you know, pursuing a business deal. And at the time it was probably decent advice, but now it would be, for me, it would be poor advice. So pardon, but this is my story, and hopefully you can learn some things along the way. I'm a single solopreneur. Well, I'm married, but I'm not talking about marital status. I'm talking about business. Yeah. Come on. Keep your head in the game. So for me, and there are people that are out there, and I want a VA that can do this, and I want somebody that can do that. I don't want any of those things. I don't. And so people might look at me and go, well, you're thinking small. I don't think there's anything wrong with thinking small. I don't think there's anything wrong. And I regularly have encouraged people, if there's something that you can find to do, and it can bring in an extra $100, $200 for many, 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 many people, that's life-changing stuff. For someone to start a little side project, and especially if it's something that they love to do, And if it can generate enough income that it can pay off a car, help pay the mortgage. I fail to see what's wrong with that. I fail to see what's wrong with us shrinking this stuff down. And I know why. I know why we people do what they do, especially in the marketing world, is because it's kind of hard to get people amped up for, you know, hey, don't you want to put in a lot of work and a lot of effort for an extra $200 a month? Because people get caught up with six figures, and they get caught up with seven figures, and they get caught up with eight-figure product launches. And, you know, the internet in its vastness is very much like these celebrity home shows. We see these houses and we think, man, wouldn't that be awesome? And our imaginations go crazy, and covetousness sets in. There's a biblical term. Envy sets in. And all of a sudden, we take a look at where we are, and we take a look at our digs, and we're like, this is awful. It's awful. I'm relegated to an 1,800 square foot house. And look at these people. They're spending millions of dollars, and they're buying 12,000 square foot homes. Where's the profit in that? When the practical reality is, do you know how many people, I don't mean on the internet, I just mean people in general. Do you know how many people on the planet have never sniffed at making $100,000 a year? And I think there's a little bit of a disservice done to act as though, well, you're an idiot if you can't figure out how to make $100,000. No, money isn't everything, but it is the measurement by which most people, especially in business, we measure success. And I think that's perfectly okay myself. And I don't care what your personal income goals are, but I don't think that you should immediately after listening to this podcast, go into your bathroom or wherever you have a mirror and look in the mirror if you have never, ever made $100,000, and look at yourself and make the L sign on your forehead and shout out at the top of your lungs, loser. I don't feel that way. I don't feel like that makes you a loser. So at $90,000, you're a loser, but at $105,000, you're a winner. No, come on. Losing and succeeding, winning and losing, achieving and failing, they are not so easily defined. Any more than the space in your house or where you live defines you. Now, I happen to be in a house that I've lived in for a good while. And other than the fact that it probably is more house than we need because we're empty nesters, you know, yeah, you could just soon bury me here. I've jokingly said to my wife, just dig a hole in the backyard and I'm ready. I really don't want to move. But the fact is, as we get older, it's probably going to be more of a practical reality, and it's probably going to be more beneficial for us to move. I mean, well, for instance, right now, and with the grandkids the age they are, okay, we have a pool. Having a pool is a great thing when you've got kids. Well, it can be if you're careful, you know, but the kids love coming over. And I think I got in the pool twice last summer, and it gets hot here. And it's not that I don't like it. It's just, you know, I'm at a point in life. It's not that big of a priority. I don't care. It's a lot of trouble. It's a lot of expense. It's a hassle. It's just a stinking hassle. But right now, even though my wife and I go, you know what, what do we need? We need a pool like a hole in the head, but we've got four grandkids and we've got a son and a daughter and a son and a daughter-in-law, and they enjoy it. Well, that's kind of cool. I've got a pretty high-end play system in my backyard. And you know when we got it? Yeah, I'll tell you exactly when we got it. We got it when the first grandkids arrived. My kids were like your kids. My kids were relegated to that $99 aluminum thing that you just had to be careful if they swung too hard in one direction, you know, the two of the legs would come off the ground. I mean, come on. Didn't we all grew up with those? Didn't we? I did. My kids did. Not my grandkids. You know, so I could easily see myself in a smaller place. Yeah, okay, probably a little newer. You know, because at this stage of life, I don't want to be fixing stuff all the time. You don't want to be writing checks to fix stuff all the time. So yeah, there is that. But I think the same kind of a logic can apply to our business. There's nothing wrong with keeping it simple, stupid. There's nothing wrong with keeping it small, smarty pants. So KISS doesn't always have to stand for what we've traditionally known it to stand for. It can absolutely stand for keep it small, smarty pants, because it can be really smart to keep it small. I'm involved in some projects and things and with realistic crunching of numbers and that sort of thing. And in trying to make some of these things happen, it's pretty monumental in this day and age what a single person can accomplish, the value that they can provide in the market to make a living and to make a handsome living. Is there any IPO in my future? No. Do I want one? No. Do I want outside investors? No. I don't even want a line of credit at the bank. I just don't want any debt, period. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with somebody who says, you know what? I want to try to figure out if I can make this side project, if I can turn this thing into an enterprise where I could make $4,000 a month. Well, here's the problem with that. The problem with that is people like me that are out here kind of preaching a message. Who wants to listen to that? Well, my hope is you do. And it's not a matter that, well, come on, let's tone down the ambitions. That's not my point at all. So don't misunderstand. My point is there's nothing wrong with these ambitions. There's nothing wrong with supplanting income now with some side project in the hopes that over some time you can morph that into something where maybe that day job that you're not quite so excited about, and okay, maybe you even hate it, that you can leave it. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with a guy that says, you know, I love my job, but there's something else, you know, over here. There's an itch that I've got that I'd love to scratch over here, kind of as a moonlighting project, as a side project. And oh man, if I could make it where it paid its way, made me a little bit of money, hey, that'd just be a bonus. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. There's not one thing wrong with that. I think for us to believe that we're going to change the world, that we can change the world, I have this ongoing dialogue with a few select people in my life who really like to think big, and I like to think big as well, but I've lived long enough to know this, that the impact that you're going to make, by and large, the biggest impact you're going to make is the impact you're going to make much more locally. Now, I know the internet changes all that, but here's what I mean by that. If you're a father, if you're a husband, hopefully you're both, you're going to make a big impact on your home. Your biggest impact is going to be made at home. I don't care how many hours away from home you spend. I don't care how many hours you spend working and struggling and striving. Your impact is going to be on these lives. Oh, yes, your customers are going to be impacted. Oh, yes, your business associates are going to be impacted. Oh, yes, business cohorts around the country, perhaps around the globe. Yes. They're going to be impacted, but when the flowers get put on a casket And when some guy gets in a coat and tie and stands up and eulogizes you, who's going to be sitting there? And know this, the closer they are to the front, the more important you were to them and the more important they were to you. I'm sad to report that I've preached more funerals than I wish I had, but was asked and did. And it's sad to me, there's an awful lot of funerals that are held and there just aren't that many people. Now, in some cases, it's because the person was very old. I mean, come on, you live into your 90s. In many cases, you've outlived your peers. But in other cases, these were people who just, small group, a really small group. Even the people that have touched tons of people, it's amazing how small the group. So in this vastness of the internet, and in this bigger is better, in this not wanting to embrace any kind of a small idea or even small progress, I'm encouraging you, I'm not encouraging you to not think big and to not dream big. I'm simply encouraging you to consider the value at least of a small start. It doesn't have to be a big start, but you know what? It doesn't have to be a big finish either. One guy with a computer, okay, and maybe a microphone and a webcam, can do an awful lot and can reach an awful lot of people, can serve a lot of people, can provide some service, some work, some benefit to people that they're willing to pay for. One guy, and I don't care if you have employees, I don't care if you have virtual assistants, have a team of people for all I care. I'm just simply confessing to you, it's not the way I want to roll. I want to be able to do what I need to do. And I want to be, you know, I want to be like an army ranger. Okay. I want to be a one man army, self-sufficient. If I want to contract something out because I got a project and it's more effective and efficient and better quality for me to have somebody else do that, certainly. That's just me. That may not be you. You may want the 11,000 square foot, 20 foot vaulted ceilings. Okay, I don't. So to each his own. And I guess what I'm saying is just don't pigeonhole yourself into what you think everybody else would approve of. What might suit everybody else. This is where I think you got to get it really individualized and you just got to think, you know what? Everybody talks about how they'd like to make this much money and that much money and this much money. The practical reality of it is if you took the amount of money that you need to pay your bills and you doubled it, what couldn't you do? If your monthly overhead is $3,000, that's what it takes for you to maintain your present lifestyle. If you doubled it and now you've got $6,000. Within reason now, you're not going to be able to go buy a yacht or buy a Ferrari, but come on, within reason, double it. And what can't you do? You can do most anything and everything that you would want to do. Now, I too frequently have conversations with people who have some number in their head that they would like to earn. And I'm like, okay, and what does that represent? What is that going to do? The number is $500,000 a year. The number is $400,000 a year. And it's like, okay, well, why that number? In every case that I can think of off the top of my head, no idea. It's not that, well, because I want to be able to do this and that and the other, and it's going to take that much money and I've calculated, then that's what it's going to take. I never get that answer. I always get, that's just kind of always been my number. It's funny how we just arbitrarily pick these things. And I'll confess to you, I gave somebody not long ago a number and I'm rolling in my mind thinking, you know, I couldn't possibly come up with any logical reason why that's the number. It's just, we've all kind of got this comfort zone, you know. Well, find your comfort zone without outside interference and be satisfied with whatever it is you want to accomplish. And don't worry, keep it small and be smart. I don't think there's one thing wrong with that. Doesn't mean you got to stay small. When I say keep it small, you can keep it small for a period of time, but follow your own path. Do what you want. Hey, thanks for listening. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell other people about me. I would greatly appreciate it. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Ellis Studio.